to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing award-winning author Scott Nicholson. Scott has written 12 novels, 60 short stories, 4 comic series and 6 screenplays. He's also a freelance editor and journalist and can be found at hauntedcomputer.com. So welcome, Scott.
Hey, Joanna, thanks for having me. I've enjoyed your show.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. So why don't you start by telling us a bit more about you and your writing journey?
Well, I started when I was a kid messing around with comic books and a tape folded paper and just fold it in half and put some crayon marks on it and have little balloons with the characters talking, and gradually kept on until I was in high school writing a lot later in life and realized, wow, if I don't start writing, I'm going to have to get a real job and be normal. And since then, I've stuck with it, plowed through all the rejection slips, got into New York, sold 6 novels in mass market paperback, kind of faded away. And then the ebook era came along, and this year I really dove in head first, and I love it.
Yeah, so that's what we're really talking about today, is how you've really kind of switched your career from being, I guess, mainly traditionally published to, it seems like you're now mainly an indie author, I guess. Is that true? Can you maybe explain how you've done that move?
Well, it was partly necessity and partly just the way the industry's changing. It went from when I first started in the late 90s, you could get rejected by numerous publishers, and I've got 800 or 900 rejection slips to back that up, and people would write you letters and say, well, this doesn't fit or this is wrong. And then I finally sold my 5th novel I had written. I sold through the slush pile, but I also had an agent reading a different book. So it kind of worked out. I got the agent and the book deal at the same time and just went on that traditional path for 6 years. And then for various reasons, sales declined. My last book, the sales started going back up, but by then it kind of set the tone and it didn't look like, well, it's going to be a breakout success. And it's really hard to fight those numbers. And once you kind of get pegged, that's where you're going to be. And one thing led to another, and I left my agent and spent a couple of years writing screenplays, doing different things. I was still writing lots of books. I just didn't have a way in. It's kind of frustrating. And when I did re-enter the field, it had changed a lot. It seemed like agents would spend 6 to 9 months, and then most of them wouldn't even respond at all. They'd say, I'll get back with you if I'm interested, which, well, I mean, what do you do with that? I just didn't feel like the industry. I could sense those changes in the industry and realizing, well, it's getting harder. Then the recession hit and you're fighting an uphill battle. At the same time, the ebook era happened. And I actually was late getting into it because I was kind of sitting around, who's going to read a book on a computer? I didn't understand these handheld digital devices and that people were actually going to read off of them. Because they were back in the 1990s, they were talking about ebooks being the wave of the future. And even back then, people were saying, well, this is it. It's going to wipe out publishing. And after I heard that for 10 years, I was like, no, that's not. And now it's about to.
What's interesting there is you said you're late into the ebook, you know, game, but there's still a lot of people who don't think that it's happening, or don't read ebooks, don't think buying ebooks is a great idea. I mean, in Australia, that's, I guess we're a bit behind, but in America, do you really see a shift to ebooks now?
I think it's accelerating. I don't think it's on the popular consciousness yet. I have this belief that universal truth is just a matter of personal truth. People take their personal truth and turn it into that's what's happening everywhere. Like if someone's reading ebooks, they think, oh, the whole world's reading ebooks. If you read paper books, you say, who's going to ever read an ebook? And you really don't see a lot of them. I don't see a lot of Kindles floating around, but they're selling millions of them. So somebody, and millions of ebooks are being sold. So somebody's buying these things and using them.
And so I also read on your blog that you, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but that you were almost thinking of giving up with the whole writing and publishing thing, but then you started to put your stuff out on ebooks and started to actually see sales again.
I wouldn't say giving up, because I'm the obstinate kind. I'm too dumb to know when to quit, and I wouldn't know what else to do. I was just looking, that's why I was trying screenplays, comic books and other things. I was just trying different ways in to see what would stick, because I love all kinds of writing. And it would just seem like that traditional route to being a novelist was blocked, or at least a little harder than it was 10 years before. So I guess I was at the point where I was willing to take a risk, and that's what it was. It looked at the time like a big risk.
Okay, so you have had some number one Kindle bestsellers as an independent author. So I wanted to get your tips for how you actually did that. And maybe you could start by going into your mammoth blog tour, which was 3 months long, which is just amazing. So maybe you could tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, we just wrapped that up yesterday. We still have about a week to go. And because you get a week to comment at each blog to enter for Kindles. I actually contacted Amazon and said, I'm doing this tour. I'm going to give away some Kindles. Would you contribute? So they gave two Kindles. Oh. And I set up a deal where, hey, if I break the top 100, I will give away one extra Kindle for each time I do that. And so far we've gotten one of the top 100. We may be able to get another one. But I know that was because of the blog tour and generating that energy, and just the people, the book bloggers and the friends and the people who don't even own Kindles but want a Kindle is right, really cool. I mean, almost everybody trying to win the Kindle said, well, if I don't win, I'm going to buy one. So I think there's going to be a lot of new Kindle owners out there by Christmas. It was a blast.
So how did you organize a, I guess, 90-day blog tour? Did you start organizing a long time in advance?
Well, you probably won't believe this, but I got the idea about 3 weeks before I started it. I'd done book launches before, back in the old days when you had a book come out, you basically had 30 days to sell it, especially a mass market paperback. And then it's like wiped out. Next books come in and you're off the shelves for the most part. And then they start returning them after 90 days. So there's like this panic period that sets in. And so some of that thinking was still in my head when I started in ebooks. And I was like, you do this big effort and then you work hard and you do a 1 day launch and then it's gone. The next day you got to do something different. And I was thinking, why not promote not just one book, but just promote Scott Nicholson. Let's go out there and show all my, this is my crazy stuff. Plus now that in the indie era, I can put up any kind of book I want. So I'm kind of got paranormal romance, young adult, children's book just came about to come out, and just all this weird stuff, but it's all me, so it all fits. I don't need a marketing angle. I'm my own brand now, or at least that's what I hope I'm becoming.
No, that is fantastic. So did you just did you do some research to find out the best places for you to blog, or did how did you find the best places?
It was totally winging it. I just started emailing. First, I started with people who had reviewed my books earlier. So I had a dozen or so supporters already. And so I went to them first. And then I just started linking around, Googling and looking at different blogs. And, I probably had like a 20% response rate. I thought it was a great idea. Everybody who doesn't want to win a Kindle. And we averaged over 100 comments per site. So the bloggers got a lot of new visitors, followers, and friends. So it just really felt like everybody won.
No, that's fantastic. And something that everybody should be thinking about now with the launch of their books, whether they're print books or ebooks, I guess.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work. But promotion, I've come to see it as sharing and more of a generous giving than of a like buy my book, because there's so much noise out there. And we all get tired of it, and we all know how to tune out advertising. So you have to make people's lives better. There's enough there's enough out there taken away from people's lives, so I try and add a little bit. I like it when people buy my books, but I also give stuff away, so
yeah.
I'm really happy.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. That's exactly my philosophy as well. So you wrote 90 guest posts, or did you, you know, were they articles? Were they interviews? What type of things were they?
I'll go to the book blogger, but for the most part, it was a different blog post every day. Sometimes a blogger recommended a topic, and sometimes I could tell by the blog and what their personality, kind of angle it to that personality to fit what the readers might be interested in that were already there. As the tour went on, there were a lot of people who followed the tour and entered each time, because the more you enter, the better your odds of winning. So there were some regulars on there that it became like a little coffee shop hanging out, and people got to meet each other and new friends were made.
Mm. No, it's such a good idea. So going back to the sort of getting in the top Kindle 100 and, you know, number one in the various lists, what else did you do to get there? Was that purely your blog tour, or what other types of marketing did you use?
Well, I have a background in media. I've worked in radio and newspapers and some television. So I kind of figure nobody knows exactly what works. So you have to do a lot of stuff and keep doing it, because you don't know what's going to work at what time. And really, as a culmination of different things, I used Kindle Nation Daily, which is Stephen Windwalker's a genius. He got in on the ground floor on the Kindle and indie ebooks and ebook pricing, and he's real astute about what's happening out there. He's way ahead of the mainstream publishers, in my opinion, in knowing, understanding people are willing to read more books if they can get them for lower prices, and they're willing to try new authors too.
Mm. So Kindle Nation is a paid promotion blog, isn't it?
Yes, but it has a free blog, free newsletters, and a lot of voluntary opt-in stuff. But if you want your book promoted, you pay, and it's well worth it. You know, I don't believe in a lot of book paid advertising, but that's one I swear by. And I'm definitely going to use that again in the future. But that's not enough by itself. It comes and goes. I mean, that just flits in front of people's eyes. I used a blog tour to kind of have a foundation. Of course, writing for so long, I've got some loyal supporters, but I've just gained a whole different audience with ebooks, and it's really cool. Even some of my older books, like The Red Church, my first novel, keeps coming back. It's hit number one in Ghosts 3 different times this year, and I don't say that to brag. I say it as a way of, like, a book's not dead anymore. It can fade and slip a little and people get tired of it, and then it comes back again. Or, you know, maybe it's a seasonal book, or people just find it at different times. So in this era, everything's fair game, can be found at any time. That's wonderful.
That is wonderful. And as you said, that's your you wrote that. When did you write that? How many years ago?
Wow, that was about 2000, I believe, about 10 years ago. And that was my fourth novel I wrote, and the first one to get published. So it got accepted. And then it did very well. It sold about 95% sell through in paperback, which is unheard of. Most paperbacks sell 50 to 60% if they're lucky. Mm. And that means not many got sent back, but they also did a second printing, and then it was gone. So, and it went out in the Doubleday book clubs as the mail order book clubs, and sold a lot of copies. But then it was just it's kind of disheartening, really. There's a popular book and people seem to like it, and it's gone, and you couldn't find a copy in 15 months.
Sorry, that's really exciting that you had that success, you know, with the print book 10 years ago, and now you're having this ongoing success. And it reminds all of us to, when we're writing books, to think that it could carry on selling, you know, forever.
Yeah, and it's not even just the selling and the extra money, which is nice. It's found money, but also the fact that there are new readers. It's unlimited. You know, your book's not dead. It's always going to be able to meet a new reader and maybe change someone's life, inspire a writer, and that story lives on. That's pretty powerful.
That is fantastic. Okay, so then I wondered about, not having got into any top Kindle lists myself yet. Does it actually have an impact on sales? I mean, how many copies are we talking about to make it into the top 100?
Well, I don't know how many it takes. It really takes a flurry, and then it takes a sustained flurry. And it's just like in the traditional publishing, nothing succeeds like success. Once you start selling books, it shows up in more recommendations windows. More people talk about it. On Amazon, it'll show up in the person who... Amazon's really brilliant at helping readers find books that they're going to like. If they see a book that you bought, then they'll recommend something similar to it. And the better a book is selling, the more likely it is going to show up there. Now, I think publishers buy some co-op and some advertising and stuff that helps make their books show up in more places, but it's also happening sort of organically with these independent books nobody's ever heard of. I've not put any money into Amazon, but readers are buying the book. Once it gets up there, you're going to sell hundreds of copies a day. Once you're in the top 100, then of course you're proliferating, your book's getting out everywhere. You know, I've got books ranked all over the place. I probably have a book ranked like 80,000. One of my books probably ranked 80,000 right now. So I kind of know the range and what's selling and how many you're selling. Really, if you're not under 3,000 or 5,000, you're just kind of hanging in there. And that's not bad, but you're not going to make a living at that level. Unless you have a lot of books. That's another difference in this era. You can put out 10 books and 10 or 20 books. And even if they're selling two or three copies a day, you may be able to make a living off of it.
Absolutely. Okay. So I also wanted to come back there on your point about the author brand. So you said you're not, particularly promoting one book at a time. You're actually promoting yourself now as a brand. So maybe you could comment a bit more about that. Has that been something that's changed in your mind and something that you're now doing, with a real purpose?
Well, my publisher published me as horror. And at the time, there were only a couple of horror authors in America, I believe, because everybody else was calling them fiction. 1980s horror was huge here, and then it died in the 90s. And since then, it's really gotten a negative label, despite the success of Stephen King. And then you get Justin Cronin and other people popping in with big successes once in a while. But for the most part, nobody's going to put horror on the side of a book. And for better or worse, I can understand the publisher marketing that way, and they definitely had an identity and a brand they were trying to promote with similar covers and titles. And it's great for them, but not so great for me. It felt like restricting, and the expectations were low, is how I felt, that this was a book that was designed to appeal to a very small audience and then get out of the way. And I don't accept that for myself. And all that time that while that was happening, I was writing all this other weird stuff. It was just, that's the stuff that fit that brand.
So, and now you're promoting, your brand. You mentioned a children's book, you've written thrillers, you're doing all kinds of stuff. So does this indie authorship give you more freedom to write across multiple genres?
Absolutely. I still think there's an identity that readers expect. And I know that there's books of mine, and I even hear it from people that, I love this book. I can't believe you wrote this other book. But everybody has their favorites. Some people like the really weird ones. And over time, I think the audience will tell you what they like best by how many they buy. Then, I don't think it's selling out to give people the books they want. If you enjoy writing at all, why not write the stuff that more people want to read?
Absolutely. And I guess also you mentioned about marketing being more about, helping people and sharing. And I often get the question from authors, I just want to write. I don't want to do any of that stuff. So how do you balance your time between writing and marketing? And do you have any sort of tips for new authors in this area?
Yeah, and football players just want to show up and kick the ball around for 2 hours. They don't want to practice, right? Writing is a full-time job. It should be your complete identity. And I could never understand writers who didn't want to learn about the business. I've heard writers say, oh, I trust my agent to do all that stuff, or the publisher knows best. And usually those are writers who find themselves without a career in a few years. And I've just come to believe that there are great partners in the publishing industry, but ultimately they're going to do what's best for them. And you can't really blame them because they have a lot of books, a lot of authors to deal with, and a lot of pressure, especially if you're working for a corporation and you have shareholders. If you're an independent author, you're the boss. You have to do it all and you have to enjoy it. And if you don't, this is the wrong business for you.
Mm. No, that's a really good point, that it is a business. And, you know, you have to think like a small business person, and that involves producing as well as marketing.
Yeah, I don't even know if there ever was an era where you could just sit and write. I mean, we like to think there was a golden age, Hemingway and Fitzgerald and those guys who could just spend years writing a book and somebody would take care of them. But I just don't understand it. I mean, I think it's very interesting. I don't know why you wouldn't want to get to meet your readers, get in there in the trenches, see how things are put together, learn about layout. Graphic design, even if you don't end up doing them, it's good to have an understanding and appreciation.
And I love all that too. It's so interesting to find out how things are done. And I think a lot of writers are, we love to research things as well, don't we? So I think it suits a lot of people to want to know more about this stuff.
Yeah, and also you learn so much by finding out what's going on. You can see how somebody else is doing something. A lot of great indie readers and writers. You know, I've learned so much from just reading in the forums about people's reading habits and how they've changed since they got their Kindle or Nook. And, well, they read stuff they would never have read before. They read in weirder places. They dial up something. You know, if you're carrying around a paperback in your pocket, you may not want to fish it out if you're waiting in line at the supermarket. But if you have your Kindle, you go put and read two or three pages. And I've heard people say, well, I'm reading something that's really dense. I would have never read in a book because I'd forget where I was. But with the Kindle, I can read it and just absorb a little bit and then put it aside again, go on to the next book and then come back to it. So I think it's changing reading habits.
No, it is, absolutely. I just blogged about that myself, having had my Kindle for a year. Absolutely love it. Okay, so I wanted to ask you, because you've written a number of thrillers, and I am an aspiring thriller author myself, so I wondered if you could give three top tips for writing good thrillers, since you've written so many.
Wow, I would say I'm not very conscious about my writing process, to be honest. I just start with a character, usually a scene, and that kind of pops into my head, and then the book happens from there. I've never written an outline, and if I did, the one I'm writing right now, I did have to have an outline because we were trying to sell it, and the publishing industry wanted an outline. They didn't want to see the book. Usually I'd write the book, and then the editor would say, we can't accept this book. You have to write the outline and get it approved. So I'd write the outline after the book was finished. This time it worked. So that's one tip to have an interesting character. And I guess I would tie that in with tip number two, would be to start off with a conflict, have a character in a situation, and then figure out the rest of it later. I think once you have those two, I have a lot of faith elements in my book too. I believe romance. I can't imagine when I see a book that goes 400 pages without any romantic allusion or interaction or even a thought about it, or even a God, you know, you get in a bad situation and it's like, oh, God, help me. And if you don't have that in a book, it's just not really realistic to me.
No, that's brilliant. And I also had a follow-up question based on my own experience at the moment, which is I had my book with some beta readers, and they came back with a whole load of really good suggestions. And then my copy editor came back with a whole load of changes. And I've already been through about four drafts, and I'm wondering, when do you know when it has to be finished? Like, you could go on writing a book forever, couldn't you?
Yes, I've come to this belief of it's never finished. It's just the best you can do at the time, and you just have to let it go and work on the next one. But I actually revised my novels. I revised my novel, The Skull Ring, in November, partly to fix a couple of typos and a formatting issue, but also some readers had commented that the character Julia Stone was weak. And I was thought, and I've heard that before. And it's kind of like, well, okay, I'll toughen her up just a little. So I revised the novel. It had been out for 5 or 6 months, and I revised it again and put it out there. So it's a living book now. I mean, there's no need to say this is the way it is forever. I mean, it's harder when it's printed, but even that's not so hard with print on demand. I mean, Amazon charges you $25 to send up a new print file. It's free to upload a new ebook file. So why not make it as better if you can? Or you can just do the best you can and leave it alone forever.
Yes, I'm. It's a bit frustrating, but you know, I've set myself a target now, and I'm going to get this last edit done, and then it's the next book. You know, like you said, you have to have lots of books on Kindle to make some decent money, right?
Well, unless you hit the one bestseller, and then you don't have to worry about it. Right, Catcher in the Rye, and then you're done.
I was hoping more for the Da Vinci Code. okay, so actually, I did have another question on that. We're almost out of time, but you know, this is so interesting. You know, Joe Comrath talks about the importance of writing a lot of books, and he's basically said that he's now giving up on marketing, or you know, not doing book tours or anything. He's just going to focus on writing. So that's kind of one idea versus the idea that you would write, say, less books but do more marketing. Where do you fall on that kind of argument?
Well, I've known Joe for years and years, and I always followed his crazy things. Like, he got in a car and drove to 500 different bookstores. So he's always been, you know, that's the equivalent of a 90-day, that's worse than a 90-day blog tour for insanity. But he's always been in the Joe Comrath industry. He's always been pushing ideas and doing stuff that nobody else is willing to do. And I think that's Joe's success, is realizing that everybody has to create their own path. And I believe that today you have to find your own blend. There's no magic formula for anybody. You could duplicate everything Joe did and you wouldn't have anything like his career. And that's true of anybody. So find what works, find what's best for you. And don't forget happiness in all this. It's not just numbers. You have to have a satisfactory life. It's not just about being a best-selling writer. Can you sleep at night? Are you making people happy? Or do you have an enriching and fulfilling life? Those are bigger questions than selling a few books.
No, that's brilliant. I love that. So on that note, maybe you could tell us where people can find you and find your books.
Well, if you want to come to hauntedcomputer.com, you'll find links to all my books, or you can find me at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Smashwords. I do sell signed paperbacks from my own website, and I actually sell my own ebooks. I can see a future where writers have their own storefronts and are selling their own stuff and cutting out. Amazon's really generous, paying 70% royalty, but I can see a day when you just sell them yourself and keep 100%. So you can't argue with that. I also have a free writing download, Write Good or Die. You can go to my website and get it. It's also available free on Smashwords. We do sell it for 99 cents on Amazon, but all those proceeds are donated to a literacy charity. So it's got a lot of bestsellers contributing essays on writing. You know, it's not so much about indie, but you can get a kind of a big overview of what's going on with writing. So a lot of writing tips on my side. It's not just about me. And I'm also doing a redesign right now, and I want to make my site a place where you can hang out and have a writing area, workshop area, and some things like that. My website used to be very progressive, but now it's like so 10 years ago. I haven't kept up with the times. I'm good on social media, but I've been behind on my website. But I'm fixing that this winter. I'm taking my Kindle money and investing in a new playground.
That's brilliant. Well, thank you ever so much for your time, Scott. I've really enjoyed our chat.
Thank you, Joanna.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!